Sunday morning worship for October 9th, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from the first chapter of the book of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled there, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. When you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. And the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the second chapter of St. Paul's second letter to Timothy. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel readings from the 17th chapter of St. Paul, or rather the Gospel according to St. Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and lifting up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. When you pray, what's the most important thing? When you believe, what matters the most? These are questions about faith. When we pray, we are exercising our faith. And of course, belief is faith. Prayer and belief are the basics of the Christian life, and so we ought to understand them perfectly. But somehow we mix these things up too. Most of us pray when we have something to pray for. I think that's true regardless of what sort of Christian we are. When we are in trouble, when we get bad news from the doctor, when we're having a hard time paying the bills, when we want our team to win the game, then we pray. It's our need for something that drives us to pray. So what's the most important part of prayer? What's most important seems to be the thing that we're praying for. If the need is the reason we're praying, getting what we need is what really matters. At least this seems to be how most people think. In the same way, what's the most important part of faith? The faith itself. Or at least this also seems to be what most people think. We talk about certain people as a man of faith or a spiritual woman, and we admire them for their commitments and their beliefs, but we do not ask what such people actually believe, the actual details of what it is that they put their faith in. We just respect them for believing it very strongly. And isn't that what matters anyway? Not really. Today's gospel addresses these issues, prayer and faith, and what really matters. And what really matters might not be what we thought it was. The situation of the 10 lepers in today's gospel is awful. They are in a hopeless situation. And it's not merely that they are suffering from a terrible disease. Leprosy also made them outcasts. People with this disease were forbidden from living with other people. They were not even allowed to live in their own homes or to see their own families. This isolation came from the fear that they would pass their sickness on to others. This should sound familiar to us, having come through the isolation brought on by COVID. However, unlike COVID, where those of us who are ill only need to isolate for a week or two, those suffering from leprosy were expected to isolate for the rest of their lives. The reason for this is that there was no cure for leprosy, at least not until recently. This is the terrible part of leprosy. You have no hope of getting better. And once you had leprosy, your life was effectively over. You lost your job, your house, and your family. All these things were left behind. Even though you went on living for a while, you were, in essence, already dead. When you think about the situation of the 10 lepers this way, it becomes clear why it was that they begged Jesus for mercy. They come to Jesus simply because they have no other options. Why not ask him for help? What could it hurt? Regardless of what they know about him or think about him, the lepers need help so badly that they are driven to beg Jesus for this help. It is their extreme need that has them praying for Jesus. As we were saying before, this is also the reason many of us pray. For many, prayer is the last option. We all have problems in life, and for the most part, we can solve many of our problems. Do you need more money? Then find a better job. Are you unhappy with the way you look? Go on a diet and buy new clothes. Are you sick? Then go to the doctor. But then we run into problems that we cannot solve, incurable diseases, problems that involve other people that we cannot control, old age, death. So then we pray, because prayer becomes our only help and our only hope. There's nothing wrong with that. The desperation of the lepers leads them to Jesus, and in the same way, in our own times of desperation, we come back to God too, and that is a good thing. This is what we should do. But we see a problem later. What happens after the prayer is answered? All 10 lepers are healed, but only one comes back to Jesus. Where were the other 9? What were they doing? Well, that's fairly obvious. Once they have seen the high priest, they go home. By the way, with this business about seeing the high priest, there's an important or kind of an interesting point that we won't discuss in this particular sermon. Maybe we'll talk about it next time we come back to it. But strangely enough, Jesus asks, or rather tells these men with leprosy that as they go on the way and as they're healed, they're supposed to go and present themselves to the high priest. This was to fulfill the law that was stated in Leviticus chapter 14, where there are regulations laid down for what you are supposed to do when you are healed from leprosy. You are supposed to be examined and certified by the high priest, and once he had examined you, then you could then go back home to your family. The interesting part is, why is there such a law even in the Old Testament? A law that concerns people who had been healed of leprosy, when leprosy is an incurable disease. It seems to me that the rules of Leviticus 14 only ever come into effect one time, and that's the time when Jesus heals these 10 lepers. But anyway, that's a sermon for maybe in 3 years. We'll see. But anyway, the 9 go home once their prayers are answered. That's the point we wanted to make today. They just go home. They got what they wanted, and so they get on with their life. I think so, too, this is how most of us pray as well. When our prayers are answered, what do? We go back to doing what we were doing, right? If the problem was stopping us from living our life the way we wanted to, once the problem is solved, then we get back to doing what we want to do. What's wrong with that? Well, the one of the lepers, the leper that returns to Jesus, I think he teaches us a better way to go about things. He teaches us a better way to pray. Maybe prayer is not just about a problem that we need to have solved. Maybe the most important thing that happens is not having our prayers answered. Maybe what really matters is who we are praying to. The single leper that returns, who was a Samaritan, he discovered something more important than a cure for leprosy. He discovered Christ. And maybe that's also what really matters when we pray as well. Perhaps, again, it's not so much what we are praying for or what we need, but instead what matters in our prayers is who we are praying to. At the very end of our reading, Jesus tells the Samaritan, now cured of leprosy, to go home, and he tells him, "Your faith has made you well." Now, if we didn't know better, we might understand those words the wrong way. Just like we think of prayer in terms of what we need, we might also think that faith is about how strongly we believe something, that somehow the Samaritan was healed because he believed really strongly. And so we think maybe that if we have strong faith, then we'll get whatever we pray for as well. Again, putting the focus on ourselves, on our own needs, and about how badly we want it. But when Jesus commends the Samaritan for his faith, he is not praising him for how strongly he believes. He's not praising him for how smart the Samaritan is or how holy he is, but rather the Samaritan's faith has made him well because his faith was in the right thing. What Jesus is praising the Samaritan for is whom he puts his trust in. The Samaritan has recognized that Jesus is the most important thing, even more important than the need to be cured of leprosy. The Samaritan sees that prayer is really about Jesus. How many of us know the same thing? We should know what prayer is about and what faith is for, but sometimes we tend to forget. We focus instead on what we need, and we focus on what we are feeling and what we are doing, but these are not the things that matter. What matters is who our faith is in. What matters is who we pray to. What matters is Jesus. May we learn to follow the example of the Samaritan, who was once a leper, but now cured. May we also have the faith that will make us well, even curing us from death. May we have faith that looks to Jesus and not to ourselves. And in his name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. Faithful Lord, by your Holy Spirit, teach us constantly to pray, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, and to trust that you have cleansed us by his blood. Grant that we, like the former leper, would raise our voices of praise in joyful response to your loving care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, if we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. Remember those you baptized who have departed from the faith. Grant them penitent hearts, that they might obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all help, you hear the cries of the righteous and deliver them from their troubles and fears. Remember all who cry to you for mercy. Today, remember Ernie, Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Nick, Art, Monica, Don, Joey, Gordon, Tom, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, and James, and also Shirley Rothman, Ellen Mueller, Harry Spence, Betty Spence, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Daladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, Elizabeth, Terry Sheldon, and Shirley Fabozzi. Help them all according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Lord, grant that we may with grateful hearts receive all these things according to your merciful will. Lead us to respond with voices of praise and thanksgiving and lives of holiness and righteousness, displaying in outward form the faith that lives in our hearts. Give us faith that works in love, hope that does not disappoint, compassion that does not fail, and confidence in your mercy that does not waver, that we may live in your faith and fear all our days, and at length fall asleep in the arms of your mercy and in everlasting peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.